Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God that I direct your attention to this morning is the Holy Gospel. We read it before. I'd like to read once again from John 15, verses 9 and 12. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. This is the word of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, our Savior, dear friends, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus cried out those heart-wrenching words from the cross as he hung, dying for the sins of the world. How different those words sound than the words from our gospel this morning. As the Father loves me, even so I love you. And yet, both were spoken within hours of each other. The words from our gospel Jesus spoke in the upper room the night before he was arrested, when he was crucified. And of course, the words, my God, he spoke from the cross as he hung there dying. Jesus says to us, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. This I command you, love one another. And so here in this gospel, we find the genuine, true definition of love, a very detailed description of genuine love. The Father's love for the Son's love for you and me, and then our love for one another. They're all connected. But it begins with the Father's love for his Son. Now, there was a movie came out in the early 1980s, that's a long time ago, entitled Arthur. And it was about a very rich young man who had never in his life had to care for anyone. And suddenly Arthur falls in love. And it's a feeling he really can't describe. And in order to determine if it's the real thing, he asks the total stranger, well, how can you tell if you're in love? Does it make you feel funny? Does it make you whistle all the time? The stranger, unimpressed by the joy of new love, tells him, well, you could be in love, but then again, you could be getting sick. Arthur's dilemma of not knowing what love feels like, unfortunately, is quite typical, especially for us as Americans. In fact, the promise is more complicated than trying to feel love, having the emotion of love, because for us, love is such a broad word. It lacks specificity. You know, we talk about loving ice cream. You love pizza, you love your son or daughter, you love your spouse. We use the same word. Well, the Bible tells us that love is not so much the feeling, but rather love is action. It's an action word. The Bible tells us that God is love. The very essence of God is love. You know, God reveals himself with many attributes in the scriptures. He is just, he is holy, he is gracious, he's omnipresent, present everywhere at the same time. He fills all things, he knows all things, and yet, God is love, is the essence of who God is. We love because he first loved us. So from God we learn what love is by experiencing it in the gift of his Son, Jesus Christ. The sending, the doing, the giving of his Son for us and for our salvation is the beginning point of love. Then we can begin to understand love in our other relationships. Jesus tells us here in this text, the Father loves the Son. That's an amazing assertion when you add up everything that happened to the Son. You might be tempted to ask, well, how does that? That's a funny way of showing love. You know, Jesus had to humble himself. He emptied himself. He took on the nature of us, even a servant. And obedient unto death, even death on the cross. The Father loved his Son, yes, to the cross. If God really loved Jesus, why did he let the cross happen? Was it because God loved us more than he loved his own Son? The Apostle Paul testifies to the magnitude of God's love in his letter to the Ephesians. He says, but God, who is rich in mercy out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses and sin, made us alive together with Christ. He loved us with a great love. We certainly cannot say that God loved us more than he loved his own Son. because that would be impossible, that perfect love within the Trinity. Maybe a picture of it was kind of given recently, I believe it was at the beginning of this past week. A young soldier, 22 years old, was killed in Afghanistan, and they were interviewing his parents, and the parents said their son was meant to be a warrior. He was bold, he was courageous, we loved him dearly, but we were willing and were actually happy that he went into the service to serve his country, and yes, even be willing to give his life. That might be a little bit of a picture of the father loving the son, but willingly allowing him to go unto death itself, so that you and I would have forgiveness and life in his name. The father loved the son with a perfect love. Jesus says, I and the father are one. The father is in me, and I am in the father. And it's a relationship built on commitment. The complete commitment of the father to his son, and the son to the father and the work. That he felt that he would fulfill the will of his father. We saw that agony in the garden when he prayed, not my will, but your will be done, Father. That commitment to that that work of salvation. And then Jesus assures us here in this text, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. The perfect love the Father has for his Son is the perfect love that Jesus has for you. They're interrelated and connected. And then that's what Jesus says here. The Son's love for us, it's a perfect love, demonstrated not only in words, but also in deeds, in doing the will of his Father, in his commitment to us and to our salvation. At the end of Jesus' conversation with his disciples, John makes a little comment here in the upper room. He says, he loved his own, and he loved them to the end. He loved them to the end, even unto death on the cross. The same Apostle John, in his first letter, in fact, the chapter before our epistle this morning, John puts it like this. He says, in this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. There you have it. That's love. God sent his Son as the sacrifice for our sins. God went into action to save us sinners. He didn't just speak about love, he did love. Love for Jesus was self-sacrifice. It even meant the sacrifice of his own life. And love for Jesus was commitment to the will of the Father and his commitment to us. Jesus gave all of that love to us very unlovable, sinful human beings. Jesus didn't choose to love us because we loved him first. John says, we love because he loved us first. And so love starts from God to us to one another. Jesus has chosen you. You did not choose me, he says. I chose you to go and bear much fruit. Jesus loves us even when we're not so lovable. He says, I love you. Your sins are forgiven. Jesus loves you even when you're not so lovable. I've washed you clean. You're holy in your baptism. He loves you even when you're not so lovable. Yet he says, I love you. I am that true vine. Remain in me and I in you. Jesus loves us even when we're not always so lovable, and that he gives us his very body and blood in Holy Communion. That precious sacrament, which you will once again receive, where he gives you that body broken on the cross, the blood shed for you, so that you might have forgiveness and life in him. The Father loves the Son. As the Father loves me, so I love you. And then Jesus says, this is my commandment, that you love one another. The power to love, as Jesus describes here, comes only from God. He is the source, he is the power, he is the motivation. Because you and I can never love the way Jesus commands us to love here. And the love that Jesus is speaking about is not feeling, but it's a love of commitment. A love of self-sacrifice, not self-serving. A love of deeds, not merely words. Maybe we shouldn't say, I love you, but maybe we should ask, what can I do for you? That might be even better. Love without commitment, without self-sacrifice, without action, is really no love at all. When I counsel couples that are engaged, planning to be married, in pre-marriage counseling, I like to tell them that really more important than your love for each other is your commitment that you've made to each other. Because your love can be like this. It may be here sometimes, it may be down here sometimes. Your emotions go all over the place, but your commitment is really the glue that holds marriage together. Those words, you know, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, you know, for good times, for bad times. And most marriages experience both, but it's the commitment that really is evidence of love. You know, love is the commitment to carry through an unplanned pregnancy, even though it's going to be maybe more difficult, more sacrifice, more inconvenience, but that love carries through. Love is a commitment that wakes a parent at 3 in the morning so that they can take a cold washcloth and use a cold compress on their little one who's suffering from 104-degree temperature. Love is action. Action. It swings into action. You know, love is a commitment on the part of a teenager that motivates him or her to go against the friends and do the right thing, even if it means facing ridicule or teasing or bullying. Love is action. Love is sacrifice without counting the cost. Jesus says in our gospel, greater love has no one than this, than he laid down his life for his friends. And I call you friends. You're no longer servants. A servant doesn't know what his master is doing, but you know. You know what God has done for you in Christ. You know God's love. You know that perfect love the Father has for the Son has for you. And then he says, love one another. How can you command love? It's kind of hard, isn't it? You surely can't command love if you're talking about emotions, because who can, even God himself can't command our emotions. But God can command love, because love isn't just a word, but it's also a deed. That's what John says in his first letter. Love one another, not merely in words, but also indeed. And so he can command that because as we are those branches connected to the vine, he provides the power, he provides the motivation. It's not our love, but it's God's love through us in Christ. Jesus loves you with a perfect love. The love God has for the Father has for his Son, Jesus has for you. Now he says, love one another. So brothers and sisters in Christ, rather than saying, I love you, maybe you should say, well, what can I do for you? May God grant that for Jesus' sake. Amen. And now may that peace of God, which surpasses all of our human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in true faith unto life everlasting. Amen.